Hello and welcome to Start Sit Cut, a beginning of the week mini episode. I'm one of your hosts, Nox McCoy. Joining me as always, don't score a late touchdown on him. Don't do it, or he will confront you at midfield. Jason Waterfalls. Jason, is that true? Would you do that?
No, we got to stop you. It doesn't matter. There's people on the field. You have to be ready. It's dangerous to not be ready. You got to get stopped. There was nothing wrong with that. Oh, wait, the coach didn't call the play?
Look, there's so many layers of amazingness to this whole story because by my calculations, hold on, let me get a calculator real quick. If you give up 31 straight second half
points. Is that how you get a calculator? Or is that how you use a calculator?
Yeah, no, it's a very elaborate system. Someone will bring it to me in a few minutes, but like I just like cue them like that. If you give up that many points, the first 24 were cool. Those were gentlemanly. But the last seven, because you couldn't put up enough of a fight, Arthur Smith, I know you are the son of FedEx, but that's how, like, UPS wouldn't blink about that. Okay. The son of UPS, he wouldn't care if you score a touchdown on him. He'd be like, it's my job. Stop you, bro. That's what's up.
So we're talking about the Falcons and the Saints, and the Saints scored a last second touchdown. What, after an interception, they got it to the 1 yard line.
Yeah. And the guy 41-17. And then, you know, they probably should have kneeled. They probably should have, but they
didn't. Sure. And the guy that scored the touchdown, who is a great character, Jamal Williams, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Jamal Williams is right.
Why am I thinking of Jamal Charles? Jamal Williams was the leading touchdown scorer, rushing touchdown scorer in the NFL last season.
That's right.
For the whole season, for the Lions, and they got him in the end zone because Jameis Winston asked the team in the huddle, hey, coach said we should kneel. But what do you guys want to do? And
the litigation after it was like, because Arthur Smith's screaming at Dennis Allen at midfield after Dennis Allen's like, I deserve that. That's cool. We shouldn't have done that. That's, you know, I'm going to kill somebody for that. And then there, so it was like, well, who ordered the code red? Turns out it was Jameis Winston. Big shocker there. But his elite spin zone of like, I didn't go above and beyond to do this. I made it a team decision. I love democracy. And you can't, in an election year, you can't go against democracy. So Jameis Winston wins again. Like, good job.
Jameis Winston just always wins because his face looks like he was on four different popular drugs at the same time when he was giving that interview in the locker room. He was
high on just being in the mix again.
And that's the thing. Like, he wasn't on any drugs. He was just, you know what? It's a team decision. And I just kept thinking the entire time, what was the coach's vote? What were all the coaches' votes?
Is that a fireable offense if your quarterback runs a coup d'etat as the last play of the year and you don't make the playoffs? I think you should be fired, honestly. Is there any Saints fans listening who are like, man, I can't wait to have Dennis Allen back next year as my coach?
No, but again, be careful what you ask for. I mean, they went 9-8 in a terrible division. They're not that good. Derek Carr played and didn't play. Like, half the team played and didn't play. Like, it's, I don't know. Nobody wants Dennis Allen. But be careful who you're gonna get. The corpse of Greg Williams next.
No, you're not. You're gonna get a Bounty player coach. Jameis, come home.
Oh,
Jameis,
come home.
Stay home. All right, Jason. We're back after a brief hiatus because of Christmas and because of Jesus. I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying like what it is. I'm not blaming him. I'm not.
I gotta
say, it is a fact though. Okay.
Is that a Jesus shield?
No, it's not a Jesus shield.
Is that a thing? Can I get in trouble for saying Jesus shield?
I mean, you can. Is it like stolen Jesus Fowler? There's something there. There's a Jesus juke, but then there's also like, I mean, I guess it's the God card. Anyways, but also because of the flu. I can't blame the flu. I was out recently.
Can I be real honest with the listeners?
Yeah.
I just want to say, we are sorry. We're sorry we missed some time, okay? Here's the thing, and I want to be extremely honest here. We're also not sorry. And that's upsetting to everybody involved. And it's not ideal, but we're also not sorry because a lot of things happened, including somebody being more sick than I think I've ever known you to be. That wasn't a major medical situation. Like, this was you got the real flu. Am I right?
I did. I got the influenza, the real deal one. I'm going to cut it here in a minute and we'll talk about it at length. But yeah, it's, I thought I could gut it out. I'm a guy who like I think if I get the flu, I mean, Jordan had a flu game. You know, why can't I do a flu podcast, right? Like, why can't I record the flu? And then really quickly, you learn when just the idea of reaching over and getting your Propel to drink feels like the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. I was like, I don't know that I have the takes to bring.
And I think Jordan had a medical staff around him, supporting him, fluids, et cetera, et cetera. So
didn't we learn, like, it wasn't a flu. He just had, like, bad pizza. Like, he had, like, diarrhea.
It's all alleged. You know what I mean? I'm not certain we know the real story there. But we're back. We're back. We're better than ever. Yep. Probably, hopefully. The college playoff was incredible. The NFL finally finished strong. Had a great, fun weekend. This was a great week 18, my opinion. I believe it's correct. So, alas, we're back. I'm better than ever. How about yourself?
I'm feeling better than ever as well. I'm eager to get going. I'm eager to talk about, you know, by the time this posts, the game tonight will probably have already, or will be in progress, or will have already been played. But I'm excited to break that down too. But let's go ahead. Give me your start for this week.
All right. My start this week is going to be The Traitors on Peacock. This is something you've been telling me to watch. A wife and I watched the first two episodes, and we were like, I think this is kids safe.
Yeah.
And so we waited and started watching with them, and now they are obsessed.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit Survivor. They have not watched The Challenge with us. It's, you know, it's public voting, which I like. Public voting in real time, but you can't change your answer, right?
Yeah.
The idea that the twist that I love the most is that they picked Ceri, who you've been telling me about in the Survivor world for a while.
That's right.
But this is a situation where they have three people out of, like, I don't know, 17, 18, 20, however many people there are. And three of them are traitors. They are trying to sabotage the game actively. But when they're doing the competitions, they want to help them make money because they're trying to steal that money. And one of the guys that they have, this is season one that I'm watching right now. We're working our way because Johnny Bananas and CT are in season two. And we're working our way to season two. And one of the guys that they have, Christian, is an absolute loose cannon. And Ceri is maybe the best reality player I've ever seen just in my entire life.
Just like a fiddle. She's just like a woman in a room full of fiddles, and she's playing all of them, basically, in that first season.
So I came out of all of winter break finding season one of The Traitors that was on like a year ago. So pretty excited. Aaron found the bear, which,
hey, can I bring this?
I would love to. Let's go stumble upon a bear.
Your boy's watching Beef. Everybody's loving Beef. I missed it. I don't know when it came out. Won some awards at Golden Globes last night. I'm like, hey, Beef's a pretty good show, guys. I'm kind of liking it. So
I love it. I love it. So yeah, I mean, my start is really the NFL season, the, you know, college football season. I'll get to some Bulls here in a minute, but The Traitors is really, really actually good reality television because it's tough. And these people are not, I don't want to say they're not geniuses, but they're not like understanding this premise. This is a new premise to all of them. The best wrinkle is that collectively everybody votes somebody out, and then that starts fights. And then the traitors later that night, quote unquote, murder somebody.
They don't really murder somebody.
No, they don't really. But that little twist right there, where everybody gets together and votes, and then right after that meeting, they get to also, the three traitors get to vote someone out, is an unbelievable reality challenge.
How electric is breakfast when they're watching the door? See who's coming in, who's coming down, who's coming through that door. I love it. Alan Cumming.
Incredible.
He's good stuff too. Alan Cumming, good stuff.
Oh my gosh, he's the best. We laugh at almost everything he says, and he's so dramatic in the best way possible. Ryan Lochte. This is why I'm really starting it. Ryan Lochte, I don't want to allege drugs. I don't think that they positivity test going into this because this guy is high on life. You know what I mean? And everybody is like, is he for real? And like, everybody seems to love him. He comes across the screen as really goofy and annoying, but everyone just loves his vibes, I guess. And then one guy specifically said, and this was incredible, when Ryan walks around, I hear that goofy music playing while he's walking around. And I thought that was the best thing
ever. Ryan Lochte feels like one of those golden retrievers who's an influencer, has like a million followers on Instagram. Like that, because you want to resent him, but at the end of the day, it's a golden retriever, and golden retrievers are awesome. You know, I kind of want to do golden retriever of the year, like guy who gave us the best golden retriever energy of the year.
I've been watching Hollywood House Flip on Freevee. I don't know if you've heard of this one with Jeff Lewis.
Man, you got in the sauce this break, didn't you?
Oh man, I had time. I watched a lot of football and I watched some reality TV, which, you know, is a spoil yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Treat yourself. And there is a TikTok influencer named Noah Beck.
Okay.
I don't really do TikTok and I don't do TikTok and I don't really know who this is, but he was one of the ones that, you know, Jeff Lewis was flipping his whatever. And that guy might win Golden Retriever of the year. Yeah. Look up Noah Beck. He is a Golden Retriever.
I'd love to take people's nominees. I really like that that idea. Maybe it's a running thing.
Yes,
it's
twice please, a year please.
Thing. I'm going to start this week. You know, we didn't, because of the break in flu and Jesus, not blaming, just like stating the reality of the calendar, we didn't get to talk about the Survivor finale. And some people reached out like, hey, you guys going to do a recap? We're going to talk about it here. So that's going to be it. Some of it was a great finale. You know, sometimes there's a lot of mystery. Sometimes there's a lot of consternation. This one didn't seem to have it. The right person won. I guess if you don't want to be spoiled, like stop listening for a few minutes.
Or if you're Carp and you don't like Survivor, then that's on you, because this season was incredible.
It was a very good season. D should have won. She did win. And honestly, the finale was not interesting to me, not in a bad way, but it ceased to be interesting once Keturah made probably the biggest error I've ever seen in the game, which was to switch her vote to allow D to escape and not be voted out. Once I saw that, it was kind of like watching, you know, a really fun playoff game where your team is winning by like 21 the whole time. And it's like, I'm going to watch this whole thing, but I know how this ends. And I can kind of just like breathe and relax. I don't know if you had any takeaways or any like really spicy opinions about the finale, though.
Well, on that, were you surprised in how many votes Austin got? Because I think that they gave D an edit throughout the season that at least gave, and you blew through it early. I was still on my edge. On the edge of my seat a little bit more than you were on. They're giving Austin a great edit. They're giving D a what now I look back on as a reluctant edit. Like, this is so obvious. And she played the best game. But it got to the end and Austin got a lot of votes.
He did.
And it was actually pretty close. And it was I think, like the closest vote of the new era or whatever they said, which, you know, isn't saying a lot. It's 4 or 5 seasons. But I thought that the Keturah not getting D out was the biggest mistake, like you said. And that is what I get nervous about with this last season and maybe going forward, is people aren't taking as big of swings late in the game. I don't know. I don't know if that's a fully cooked idea or not, but like that was a no-brainer. And I don't know what Keturah was thinking other than maybe she thought that her game was strong enough going into, if she would have gone against D, and I just don't think that was going to be the case.
Yeah, I think she alluded to at some point saying she just didn't know if she could trust Jake. Whereas I feel like Jake, at all, nothing ever works for Jake, but at least he's always trying what he says he's going to try. And I think she's burned him twice now. But I go back to your point. Keturah just didn't seem like a serious player and a serious person.
Yeah.
And that played out. And I don't know if the lawyer of it all was informing, like everyone thinks I'm a lawyer. If I get to the end, I win, when I don't know if that's the case, you know, but it was, Austin got a lot more votes than I thought. But I think to your point, D definitely, got the edit, got the look, and she earned it. Like, she deserves it. I'm kind of more interested now, honestly. I've been swept up in, are they still together? And there's a lot of rumors that D and Wendell, one of my other favorite winners of all time.
What?
That
I thought they were taking it. D and Austin were taking it slow and they were still talking. They went on vacation together.
Now, see, this again, this is just rumors, but the internet has found, evidently Wendell may have bought her a bracelet that he gave to her that she's wearing. And I don't know if he is like engaged or married or so it's a dicey situation. But again, all rumors. But there's just a lot of smoke around, like what's going on there.
Oh, so. Poor Austin. After all of this, he got lied to, and then here's the thing. You know he was really smitten, because when she turned around and told him, hey, I lied to you, he was just like, all right, well, that's gameplay, so let's keep going. Like, you're in the jury. I thought this was a fantastic season, start to end, until the final tribal council. I thought Austin took a couple swings, but I don't think he took like the stab her in the heart.
No.
And I don't mean stab her in the back. Stab her in the front, in the heart.
Yeah.
Type of swings that he needed to, that he could have,
He was too down bad. He was too down
bad to swing a couple of those votes for him to win.
Yeah, yeah. It was once she pulled out like the "I lied to you" and you never knew. And I'm telling you right now in front of everybody, you can't recover from that either. I do. Speaking of can't recover, people have reached out and been like, "How is Jason taking the temporary tattoo news?" Because I think you said D would not make final three, and not only did D make the final three, she actually won.
I mean, if we look back, I went through the audio. Okay, mm-hmm. It's unedited. Mm-hmm. I said she shouldn't make the final mm-hmm. three because she should have been voted out. So a lot of this comes down to Keturah. So we're going to find Keturah and she's going to have to do
okay
the temporary tattoo. And if we can't locate her
okay.
and lock her down for that commitment based uh-huh. on the decisions that she made,
okay,
then I will have to do it myself.
Some people are saying that since not only did she make the final three, that she won the show, that temporary tattoo should be converted to a permanent tattoo. Okay, it's not me. I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm just telling you, people are reaching out to me. So there's a little bit of a groundswell.
I mean, was this the temporary tattoo that the listeners also get to pick? And then mm-hmm. now it's a permanent tattoo and that's they get right. to pick placement and what it is.
That's right.
And all of a sudden I'm going to have like some crazy thing on my forehead.
It's Jake's entirely nude body, except for his, MeUndies?
Fig leaves.
When he found his idol and jammed it down his pants directly into scrotum. It's that tattoo. That's what they voted on.
It's so. Three teardrops, permanent tattoo off the corner of my eye because she made final three.
I like it.
And then one permanent teardrop on the other eye because she won.
Okay. So we agree. Okay. I think that's great news. That's great news. We'll stream that live when that happens.
Okay.
What are you sitting this week?
All right. This week, I am sitting bowl games that don't have an edible mascot.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this a little bit on the podcast when I was over on there on the main feed. The Pop-Tarts Bowl that we've been talking about here for mm-hmm. a while lived up to expectations. Yes, I couldn't tell you who played in that game, but that mascot was electric. The caved-in face in the middle of the Pop-Tart.
Oh my gosh.
Was just like when you accidentally touch the middle of a Pop-Tart and it caves in.
Yeah. So that was Harvey Dent kind of look there at the end. Yeah. You said like you had no idea who played in the game. I was struggling to even come up with a guess. Do you want to guess? With either two teams. One is from the ACC, one is from the Big 12.
Oklahoma State?
You're not too far away. It was actually K-State and NC State.
Okay. And I was never going to get NC State.
What a marketing miracle, because we're both avid bowl watchers, and I couldn't tell you that, but the defining image of the bowl season is that Pop-Tart to me.
Absolutely. And when they went mm-hmm. down
Thank
the
you.
Toaster and then popped out as an edible Pop-Tart that actually looked a giant edible Pop-Tart that actually looked delicious.
Yeah.
And it puts to rest, you toast your Pop-Tart, just like Jamie said. That is the final answer. You toast your Pop-Tarts.
You don't toast your Pop-Tarts because I don't think the mass marketing message is meant for everybody. It's meant for the lowest common denominator. But I do like to think in moments like this, I always want to flash forward like 100 years and be like, what will our great, great grandkids think of this moment? Because I think of like, you know, in the 20s, we got like flapper girls and everything and all, like all that stuff. Like, what do I think about that? Like, that's kind of crazy. Our great, great grandkids will watch a anthropomorphic Pop-Tart descend into the hell of toasting and then a ritual cannibal sacrifice. Like, what?
And then a week later, a Cheez-It going down. Now, I know Tennessee played in that game.
Sure.
A week later, a Cheez-It going down and saying, well, I don't like saying going down. And then a Cheez-It descending and saying, not an edible mascot. And now every mascot has to, like Bevo.
Yeah.
Bevo needs to wear a sign, not an edible mascot.
I haven't seen a statement from Bevo, so we don't
Thank
know yet.
You.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good bowl season. The whole mascot angle was good.
It was a good bowl season? Are you getting paid by Big Bowl? What are you talking about? It was a terrible bowl season. Get out of here.
What was so terrible about it? What was so great about previous years that made this one so terrible? This is my point. I wonder if bowl season has ever been tremendous. We've just been hungry for football. And now we get football on 14 different channels and streamers all the time that made, you know, this lingering football. And there was a lot of opt-outs. Great. The 25 opt-outs from this team, 25 opt-outs from this team. Wisconsin almost beat LSU. That's not interesting.
It was briefly because I had bet on LSU and they were an important leg in my parlay. I think
same
to your point. I just think it's not necessarily about like this specific bowl season. We still need all these bowls, man. Like, we don't need them. I'm not mad about opt-outs. I'm not mad about anything like that. Like, these are the unintended consequences of things of players getting paid, which is a good thing. That's a net good thing, right? Yes. I'm not going to grumble about that. Transfer portal, it's kind of weird. I feel like college football should organize a little better.
It's getting crazy, and I absolutely love it. It's like free agency on steroids.
It really is. It really is. And like the most interesting part is I feel like the journalism, cottage industry hasn't been built out to support and track this yet.
Yes.
So it's like there's Evan Stewart is still out there, and I don't know what he's going to do. And if this is the NBA, I would know everything he's doing all the time. I have no idea what's going on. So I'm fascinated by it.
Brian Urlacher's son just signed with Notre Dame.
Look,
from Arizona.
Brian Urlacher. I did at a certain point, we maybe need to do a whole episode on like the things we watched during the break, because you've already indicated some weird things. I've got some also very weird things. My reel served me a Jay Cutler, Brian Urlacher podcast clip where Brian Urlacher has full hair is big MAGA. Big MAGA energy.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, well, this is a weird vibe.
Thanks. Thanks for
it was
rough. And for I couldn't twisting get my excitement.
I couldn't get Jay's beat on like where you at, Jay? Like what's your politics?
I think you can get Jay's beat on where Jay's at.
Probably. I don't even know.
I don't know why everybody's complaining about the bowl season. It's not like the Fiesta, I don't want to say the Fiesta Bowl, besides like the Fiesta Bowl, the big ones, it's not like all of these other, the Birmingham Allied Forces, but we're cool, we're pretty chill, bowl.com, the lawnmower.com bowl, like all of these things, these have been around for a while and we've been making fun of them. And it wasn't elite playing on the field. It was just free football.
I don't think we need as many bowls. I think that's the problem. Andre dropped a pretty good idea in our group chat.
Yes.
He said, put the bowls at the beginning of the season. That way everybody's invested. I like that. I think that's
would
a
be
great idea.
Crazy. Like week zero weekend? Doesn't count towards your record. And it's just Wisconsin versus LSU, seeing what they got this season.
Oh,
and
see, that's interesting because it doesn't count against your record, but like it does against your reputation.
Was that not the case?
I don't know. But I'm working it out with you. Like, I like the idea. Like, you can't deduct me because like I got beat in this game.
Yes.
But like we all will. I test.
Yes.
You know,
it's going to set a tone, but it doesn't go against your record. Like Wisconsin lost, but they gave LSU a real shot. Now the rest of the Big Ten is nervous about Wisconsin until they play them. But you know, like it'd be interesting to have an elite one game preseason. And elite is relative. I understand. I'm just trying to, you know.
But you could do all like the bowl selections at halftime of the national championship, you know? Like,
oh my gosh.
That'd be kind of cool. See, to me, if you don't do something like that, which I think that's actually the move, it'll never happen or it'll take 20 years to happen. Mm-mm. If you don't do that, I think it turns into almost like every bowl. Because I was fascinated by the Pop-Tart mascot of it all, of like, this is their marketing. They can do whatever they want, and they can do like a ceremonial cannibal thing or not. Like they can pour a tub of mayonnaise over. It doesn't matter. I think extend that to the game, make it like,
okay, here we go.
You can use Nerf guns.
Okay. Make so it it's like, the Nickelodeon game, but like not graphics, like
but
not
it's, but it's almost
digital
like
graphics.
Here are the terms of, you know, like in the Hunger Games, it was like, here's the field you're playing on and here's what you can do. And everyone's on the same page in terms of the weird rules for that game. You know, I think a very innovative bowl should just be like, look, one snap per game, your coach has to take a quarterback snap and attempt a pass.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It doesn't matter when, but like, you got to do it. Like, write some of these things in. Like, let's get really weird with it. I think that would be fun.
Let's have like the Cintas Bowl, you know, Cintas, like the uniform company. And like all of the coaches and all of the support staff are all also wearing full pads and uniforms and everything like that. And like the entire sideline, you can't see which are coaches and which are players. And people are just like subbing in and out. Then we're going to have like the NHL.com bowl where you can like switch out players in the middle of a play. Like,
see, that's what
like hockey
about.
Does.
That's
shifts.
Beautiful. I love it so much. I just think a little innovation, you know, what's wrong with that? Let's do something like that.
What is your sit this week?
This is simple. This is easy. It's Dak Prescott. I'm going to sit him, not necessarily him specifically. I think
feel like you're going to circle around to him specifically here in a second, but let's see where this goes.
Well, yes, I am. But I think he also is a symbol. He's a metaphor because I think I'm just underwhelmed by this NFL season, and I'm not trying to like rain on any parades. I heard a stat, I think yesterday at the end of Red Zone. Do you know how many different quarterbacks have started or played in this season of NFL?
I do not. It's got to be a good number.
Do you want to guess? You want to take a big
62.
Guess. Close. 68. Okay.
All right.
That's
all
a lot of quarterbacks. That's a lot of different quarterbacks than
all
the
original, of the AFC North finished season. With what, 8 wins or a winning record or something like that, and like 3 of the teams three of the teams did not finish, you know, besides the Ravens, did not finish with their day one quarterback and they had a winning record.
Yeah, that's it's crazy. Just it's the play has been kind of underwhelming, the quality of play. I even thought the opening weekend of the playoffs, these matchups, I'm like, I don't know about some of these. Like, there's maybe one or two good games like I'm really interested to watch. Other than that, it's just kind of a lot of dog crunch. But I think more than anything, someone like Dak represents that. Like, you want more from him. He's not going to give it to you, but it is going to be basically entertaining. But specifically to Dak.
Are you doing like a whole Josh Allen rant right now, but then
no.
using Dak as the face? Because everything you're saying so far, you could also be saying about Josh Allen, and I'm realistic about that.
Look, I risked money on Josh last night out of respect for you. New Same. Year, new me, new wallet, new pocketbook, new respect for Josh.
New budget.
And in the first half, he really tried to bone me, man. And I texted you that. And I was like, what's your deal? What's your boy's problem? And then, but then, you know, they circle
hey,
back.
Hey, Xander, get your boy.
Yeah. but I think for Dak, at some point I was watching the Cowboys, I guess it was the Thursday night football game in the middle of the flu. And I had never picked up the Dak snap count,
there
you know?
Is. There it is.
Had you? Did you know about this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been doing it in the house for a while now.
Okay. Because you got Peyton's like, go. Omaha. Yeah. Dak doing the, okay, here we go. Like, every single snap, I thought I was hallucinating and I thought I was going to die. In the middle, like having a fever dream, I'd wake up and I'd hear, okay, here we go. And it's all I hear now, man. And I hate
shifts,
it so much.
He shifts the tone of his voice too. So this got addressed a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago. I don't know what is time. He got with his offensive lineman because they were asking him in loud situations. They weren't hearing him well. So they wanted to have a specific cadence and a specific thing that he said every single time. And
here we go.
it's like Dak trying to do a Wisconsin, Minnesota accent, but then like also like being super low.
Splash
nasally.
Of Gruden. Yeah. Splash of Gruden in there. I wish he would do the Justin Timberlake seeing Genuine and be like, oh yeah, Foshies, Foshies. Like, that would be my choice.
Michelle haunts me. Dak doing Michelle Williams doing Justin Timberlake seeing Genuine. Genuine.
I love it. I love it so much. Okay, what are you cutting this week?
All right. This week, this is not a shot at you, okay?
Hey, sometimes it needs to be a shot at me. Go.
I just want to be very clear. It's not a shot at you.
It should be. You're a coward if it's not.
It's not a shot at you.
Shot at you. You're a coward if this isn't a shot at me.
Okay, new year, same you. This is not a shot at you. The Jaguars were selling playoff tickets. Ooh, this came out yesterday because they did not make it to the playoffs. Basically, they had a collapse of epic proportion. I'll tell you what. The Miami Dolphins have lost 3. You know, one was last night, Van Ginkel. I don't know how injured he is, but they lost Jalen Phillips. They lost Bradley Chubb. Now Van Ginkel's injured. Like, that's some injuries. Tyreek Hill's...
It's just a mash.
Eighth child tried to burn down his house with a lighter. There's a lot going on for the Dolphins. Guess what? They kept playing hard. The Jaguars completely fell apart. And I'm blaming Trevor Lawrence. I am fully blaming Trevor Lawrence. I think the man behind Urban Meyer is actually Trevor Lawrence. The Jags were selling playoff tickets in the middle of December, and they are not in the playoffs, and the Texans have won the division.
And they never looked close to beating the Titans, even though like positionally on the field, they should have been able to score points to win the game. I was watching that. I thought they're never going to win. They're not going to do it. Lawrence is obviously very injured. But yeah,
yes.
What a collapse. I think it's time. Look, I will say, obviously I went in big on the Jags. I think.
You aren't the only one, by the way,
sure.
in the world.
And my premise wasn't incorrect. There will be a young quarterback, probably in the AFC South, who will arise. It was CJ Stroud.
Oh,
I
here
didn't
we
think
go.
It was going to be him.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you had this in you this early in the season. I mean, the year.
I had it wrong, but someone did. You know, someone got it right, and it was CJ Stroud. And that guy looks, he looks great. I don't like, where are we at on returning home? Come home. Come home, Jason. Come
Bills, home, baby. Jason. Bills are the 2 seed. What more could you ask for? I don't know how it happened, to be honest with you. I was never out on the Bills. We know that. But boy, sure. Was I nervous. And I honestly, mathematically, have no clue how this season in the AFC, the Bills are the 2 seed. That's
when
insane.
When were you most nervous about the Bills? Was it during the Sean McDermott 9/11 spin zone gate, or was it
that was a low point? Was it?
I still think that's, if they get bounced in the first round, I think it's like, we gotta let you go.
But was it a game weird yesterday in Miami when like most of the stadium somehow was Bills fans?
Yeah,
and Josh Allen threw 2 interceptions in the end zone he was trying to score in. Was it then? Yeah. And fumbled the ball. Was it then? Nope.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
It's tough. It's tough to be a Jags fan right now. So, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Down bad.
Down bad. Down real bad. I think it's time. Okay, I think rebrand. Okay, if I'm marketing consultant, I walk in and say, Doug, Trevor, great to see you guys. Trevor, haircut. We gotta get a haircut. We gotta go short. We gotta change the narrative. You don't like the conversation, change the conversation. Haircut. Boom. Number 2, Doug. We're not the Jaguars anymore. We're the Jaguars. Jaguars.
Okay.
Just like the car. Okay. Say it with me. Jaguars.
Yes. Yes. And what if they're the Jacksonville Panthers and they're like, we'll just confuse everybody for a couple of years.
Whoa. Okay.
And we'll just, and then the Carolina, and then the owner throws a drink on Jacksonville. Right. And then it's like, whoa, what do you mean? We're trying to respect you. We're both Panthers. And then any Panthers talk, you don't know where it's going to either of those
flood
teams.
The zone with who are we talking about?
Oh, look, my gosh, is that the greatest idea ever? No, it's not. But what if a team rebranded and they were just the same name as another team also in their league? Because there's different, like, Little Man was asking me, like, why are there so many teams named the Bulldogs? Butler, Georgia, Yale, there's various teams named the Bulldogs. Why are there so many repeats in college?
Yeah.
And like, how are they allowed to do that? I didn't even think about it till now. Let's bring that to the NFL.
Okay, just like double dip. Instead of being like, I'm not going to be a Weimaraner, I'm going to be another Panther. I'm going to be a Pink Panther. I do kind of think the Pink Panther is a Jacksonville kind of guy. You know, he seems like a guy strolling around Florida, just doing some stuff, not all legal, probably.
Are you telling me you're not going to sell unlimited merch if you're the Jacksonville Panthers, let alone the Jacksonville Pink Panthers?
The Jacksonville Pink Panthers, that's a playoff team.
Hey, AI, we're coming for you. We will be utilizing you today.
I'm going to cut the flu. We kind of alluded to it. I at the end of the break, after Christmas, I took a trip to New Orleans, work on some, writing projects, some business stuff, some vision stuff. Was feeling pretty good. Walked, the Riverwalk, saw the big Washington caravan. And that was sarcasm. There was like 6 people on the bus, with the Washington crew, big contingent of Texas fans at some point. Well, it wasn't during that trip. It was right before I left on that trip. I was exposed by someone in my extended family with influenza. And, there's nothing like riding a train home in the flu or with the flu.
Oh, so it didn't hit you until your ride home?
It was like, I was there for, I guess it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
After Christmas.
Thursday night, I was like, oh, I'm getting sick. I'm getting sick. Yeah, that's right. I was like, I'm definitely getting sick. So Friday all day. On the train and then driving from Birmingham home like 3 hours. Like I would alternate between I've got a fever. So I need to like roll the windows down and let the air hit me. And then like, oh no, the chills are back. So now it's like 180 degrees in this car because I went through a drive through and I rolled the window down and the woman at the window was hit with a blast of hot air. And she's like, oh my gosh, how are you in that? How are you alive right now? So, it wasn't great. You, Jamie and Aaron filled in for me on the podcast, did a great job, tremendous job with short notice. It was a weird recording situation just because of the holiday, but y'all did awesome. And I appreciated being able to lay out. So, but all that said, I wouldn't recommend getting the flu. It was bad. I was very sick. I don't even think I got the worst of it because the doctor said with this strain, I think it's the B strain, you're supposed to be very nauseous. And like sick to your stomach the whole time. I never really got that. So that was an unexpected mercy. But yeah, it's no joke, man. People get sick out there.
I'm glad you're feeling better. There were a couple of wellness checks, and then I had to have an official wellness check.
Right.
Because I didn't hear from you for a few days. Just on a wellness check, not on any business stuff. And I'm glad you're better, man. And here we go. And here we go.
Okay, here we go.
2024, man. Let's do it.
It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a very good year. But as always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. See you next time. Bad, 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 bad